Hey everybody, welcome back to the Fin Factor. I'm Paul.
And I'm Aaron.
This is episode number 209, and the reason I'm laughing right now is because Super Producer Jason has a laughing buddy behind the scenes back here. Debbie has decided to join the show as a, what are we calling her, executive assistant producer? Or what's or is it key grip? What do we
put super in there somewhere?
Super key grip.
That's Joe.
Oh, don't dethrone Joe.
Sorry, Joe.
Well, it's super bacon and thing extraordinaire because she brought some things which Aaron's going to show you right now. I think
I don't want to drop.
Bought some tasty goodies.
Here's one.
This is one.
And here's the other.
And you know what I'm going to do is have you just kind of yell it out. No, she's saying no. She doesn't want to be part of the show. So these are pretzels that have toffee and other such things. Now there was like a crackers, some sort of oyster cracker.
Oyster crackers.
Okay, so Debbie crushing it with the making things and bringing it to the show and making everybody fat game. Well done, Debbie. They look fantastic.
Delicious.
And Aaron's digging straight into it. I love it. All right, here, let's go ahead. We'll hide these. We don't need everybody getting all jealous. Okay, so I guess we're here to talk about the Sharks because you wouldn't know from that intro. But in any case, Aaron, we had, four games now? It's a strange one because normally we don't have the show right after a game like this. Yeah. The Sharks just played. And I'm sorry.
Did you say they
didn't play? They didn't play. The Sharks just got done getting thumped while watching the game happen, and it was just an ugly, ugly loss. But we'll get to that one. We're not going to jump too far ahead. For now, though, let's go ahead and do the infomercial, shall we?
Sure. Go for it.
Very good. Oh, yeah. You're going to let me do it this time? All right, good.
ShamWow.
Guys, we're going to give the other folks here who are not subscribed an opportunity to come in here, figure out that we are live. You, of course, if you're watching us right now, have already been subscribed. And if you look down and for some reason that's not clicked, just click it. No big deal. It's okay. Hit the notification bell, that way you guys know when we are going live, and anytime we're going live, you get that email, you can jump in here with everybody else, letting you know that it's time. It is time to have a good time, to get some therapy, if you will, right? So that's what we do here.
Definitely need it after tonight's
game. Oh, God,
game.
Tonight's game. We'll get there.
Almost the end of the season. We're so close. So close. One more game left.
We're right there. It's so close. I can feel it. It's almost there.
The lottery. Anyway. The lottery's coming soon. Soon. We will know our fate soon.
I feel, Aaron, like we just need a little bit of support. And you can support the show by going to Venmo at the Fin Factor. You can support us that way. You can also go and hit the button at the bottom there. It's the Super Chat button. Either way, if you put a comment in there, it'll alert us, and we can go ahead and say whatever it is you had to say live on the show. You can also go to thefinfactor.com and check out any of the merch that we have for sale. We have hats, shirts, baby bottles, all kinds of cool things in there. So please check out which ones are actually in the store. Take a look. Aaron, you look like you were going to say something. Toaster.
You can also bring us baked goods.
You can also bring us baked goods. That is another way to support the show. Thank you, Debbie. Appreciate you and your toffee and everything else. I have prosciutto wrapped mozzarella sticks. I think it's mozzarella. Is it mozzarella? It is. They are in the fridge right now.
Do you remember in school growing up, your mom would make prosciutto sandwiches?
I do.
That was the first time I ever had prosciutto because you were so sick of them that you would trade your peanut butter and jelly for a prosciutto sandwich.
It you know what? It ruined me and my kids because they love it too, and prosciutto is so expensive.
Yeah.
It's thin slices for like nine. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway, so appreciate you guys doing that. Also, the best way sports show is if you can share us. So if you can get us out there to all your Sharks friends and family, hit the share, retweet, repost, re-everything button, get it out there and get them in the chat here.
Thank you, Peter St. John, for the $5.
Oh, Peter St. John, using the Super Chat function right away. I appreciate a follower who likes to listen to me.
Why did it have to be Corey Perry scoring on us again?
Because what other way to cap off such a horrible season than to just get it all out of the way, right? That's my take on it. Just get it all out of the way.
I don't need to bring up old stuff, and I don't know what he did, but I'm kind of shocked that he is in the league. But also not shocked because someone's going to take a chance, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it sucks that he scored on us. I can't stand Corey Perry.
I'm not a huge fan, but you know what? Good on him. He's, 57 years old or whatever it is at this
still
point.
Younger than us.
Yeah, I know. No, but you know what? Again, it's one of those guys that you love to hate. from all those days playing against him as a Duck. Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of like the Kings rivalry. It's kind of like a come and gone kind of thing. I still have a little bit of hatred in my heart for the guy, just the same way I do for the Kings. But it's just not as passionate, if you will.
It's too far gone. Yeah. I still think Dustin Brown is worse for me than Corey Perry.
Okay.
For rivalry reasons.
You're just mad about the knees.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That is just a dirty, dirty player. I mean, now we're just going off the rails already in the first 5 minutes, but here we are.
That's what happens when you get the Super Chat. You got to tell everybody about the Super Chat. You got to tell them what the guy said in there, and then if we go off the rails, we go off the rails. So if you guys enjoy having us go off the rails, use the Super Chat function. There you go. See that? I'm doing what I can, but just... In any case, okay, let's go ahead and start talking about some Sharks hockey because I think we have enough time for the Stragglers to get in here. So if you helped get Stragglers in here, we appreciate you. Okay, Aaron, Sharks, Flames, this is not a preview of the last game of the season, hopefully. So the Sharks here losing 3-2 to the Calgary Flames. Dustin Wolf,
yes.
I believe is his name. Yeah, he's the goaltender for Calgary Flames, and he is a Gilroy native.
Which is amazing that I'm kind of shocked. Maybe the new regime would have done this, but I think he was a 7th-round draft pick, which is, at this point, it's like a throwaway draft pick, right? And the Sharks always have so many 7th-round draft picks. Why did they not draft this guy? Just, you know...
For the story.
Yeah. Partly the story, but partly, like, they needed goalies in the system anyway a couple years ago when he got drafted. Like, and now he's panning out to be a pretty decent goalie, so... kind of sad that would have made a great story. Imagine him and Cooley on the team right now together. Yeah. That'd be crazy. Weird. I mean, I know it's not weird for Montreal and Toronto people because everyone's from there, but for us San Jose Sharks fans, it's kind of odd to have somebody from the area on the team, let alone two in the same building that didn't play together, unfortunately, or they didn't play against each other. That would have been cool as well if they had Cooley versus Wolf to have the Bay Area face-off of goaltenders against each other. But
yeah. I think it speaks a lot to the growth of the sport in San Jose. You know, it's taken a while, you know, for kind of the ball to get rolling and have those guys kind of be in the conversation of being professionals and being drafted and actually playing and everything else. But when you've got a couple goaltenders now, at least, in Dustin Wolf and Devin Cooley, who are maybe not super dominant. I think Wolf's pretty solid, but I mean, maybe not dominant in the league or anything. But, you know, you've got a couple guys who are there. They made it. You know, which is more than 99.9% of hockey players can say. So good on them. And it's really, again, kind of a testament to the amount of work that goes into building up that fan base and that interest and really making San Jose a hockey city. So, yeah, just really promising to see. And, you know, it's fun because I've got a couple kids that play ice, and you kind of wonder, some of the guys that they play with, maybe not them, okay, because I'm 5'7", and their mother's shorter than me, so they're not going anywhere. But the people that they play against, right? It's fun to see, like, hey, maybe some of these guys might have a shot
one
day.
Have you seen, in their career, have you seen any players that really stand out that you go, wow, that kid could actually be something someday?
Are you saying...
remember them?
Are you saying right now as a 10-year-old or 12-year-old, do I see somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah, his last name is Thornton. Oh. Just saying.
River?
River? Yeah, River. Yeah, yeah. Kid is fantastic.
How old is he now? 12?
He's, 12.
Yeah.
He's going to be in 12. He's probably 11 years old now. Yeah. But yeah, kid's fantastic. Obviously great hands. And he passes the puck very well. He's a large human being. He's got that going for him, which again, sorry to my two sons. You have a short dad.
Yeah.
It is what it is. So,
Someone asked where Colin Graf would go in the current draft. Oh. That just reminded me of the shortness of your son. The comparison there. Maybe he's a late bloomer and pops up over 6 feet after he's 20 years old.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't think so. No. Yeah, it's going to take some human growth hormones for that to happen on this side of the table, buddy. So. I don't think that's happening. But, yeah, again, just really cool that, you know, you got a couple goaltenders from the local area. And it just kind of makes you wonder, you know, hey, are we playing against somebody who maybe we might see one day? Maybe not at the NHL level, but, you know, being successful enough to play in the AHL or, you know, a star at NC2A level or something like that. So just kind of an interesting, fun thing to think about there. So anyway, those are the two goalies that were playing. Or they didn't play against each other. But, again, these guys making it to the show here. So this game, we also have Eklund scoring a goal And this is from the Lund line. Every time I think of the Lund line, it's Granlund, Zetterlund, and Eklund, by the way, in case you didn't know. I always think of Lundy, used to frequent the show. I don't think we've seen him in a little while here. But,
yeah, he's been gone for a while.
When I think of the Lund line, for some reason, I think of Lundy. So there you go. But yeah, of course, the Lund line doing a fantastic job just generating, as they pretty much always do, except for today. But that's okay. Actually, no, they did today too, didn't they?
I know Granlund got a point.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Actually, no, they all got points.
Yeah,
they did. But we'll get back to that. Anyway, so yeah, they get more points in this game as well. So that line really working well together, and not much else happening with the rest of the team. But is what it is. So anything you wanted to say about that? You said it was a beautiful goal.
Oh, just the way they broke out. So Granlund got the puck close to his blue line inside his own zone. Breakout pass to Zetterlund, breaking down the streaking down the side on the far side from where he was. And it became like a 2-on-1, and Zetterlund slotted the pass through the defender over to Eklund, and Eklund skated with the puck and deked the goalie and put it on his backhand up high. So he beat Wolf. I mean, it was a pretty tic-tac-toe kind of play, but a fluid one where they were moving and skating towards the ice, and it was just really nice. It's like, wow, I'm not used to seeing the Sharks able to, you know, pull that off. I'm used to seeing them do that and then getting stopped or missing the goal.
Yeah.
You know, like just like frustrating. So beautiful goal, and it was nice to see, and it gave the Sharks the lead in this game too.
Yeah, yeah, definitely used to seeing the Sharks missing the net, but you know, we've moved on from Noah Gregor, so it's, you know, we're getting more opportunities now that we're actually burying, which is okay by me. But anyway, we've got another one here from McDonald. McDonald picks up a goal here and makes it 2-0.
Yeah, and I forgot somebody who picked it. Was it Hoffman? Hoffman picks the it was the breakout. They were on the forecheck, and he picks him kind of at the blue line and feeds it to McDonald, and he kind of just backhand chips it, just kind of swats at it, and it goes up high over the glove side. So it made it a quick 2-0 lead, and you could tell, like, this was Calgary. They were kind of a little deflated after that, but obviously they bounced back later in the game.
Right. So we've said this before, back when Evander Kane was on the team, you know, just let Evander, right?
Right.
In this game, the Sharks sharked.
Right.
Right. So, absolutely. Of course, they lose this game in overtime, 3-2 loss to the Calgary Flames. So yeah. Any surprise here on this one that maybe you thought maybe they would hold on?
No, I didn't think they would. I just, you know, I'm 2-0. Or 2-goal leads for Sharks are never safe. 4-goal leads are never safe. We've seen that too. So I'm not surprised. I wasn't, you know, I don't, at this point, who cares?
Yeah.
They could lose 9-2 every night if they had
foreshadowing.
That's what they're doing. It didn't matter. I was just waiting for the season to be over. At this point, they had not locked up the last place. Right. So I think this kind of helped. I mean, it actually didn't help because they got a point because they went to overtime. So at this point, when I was watching this, I was kind of like, you know, why'd you get a point?
Yeah.
I wish you lost in regulation, but it's fine.
It could have been worse. They could have hung on and won. Yeah. So helping secure that those odds, which we'll talk about that a little bit later on as well. Okay, next game against Seattle in Seattle. This one, the Sharks win it by a score of 3-1. This game was not about the goal scoring, despite the fact that the Sharks did put in 3. And this was all about the goaltending of one Devin Cooley. And we talked about him a little bit earlier in the show. But this was just a fantastic effort. He faced 50 shots, saved 49 of them. And actually, Randy was talking about this a little bit. He thought that there was more shots than there actually were. So it looked like he had his 50th save of the night, but actually he only had faced 50 shots. So how awesome would that have been? Nice round, even 50.
You know what I mean? Saves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
you
should have saved that one. He would have had 50.
But yeah, so this one, again, just he stood on his head. He was all over the place. Now, it's funny because one of the things that he said in the post game, and I think we have some a tweet or something here, but one of the things he said in the post game was that it was like, oh, wait, no, actually, I'm sorry. Let's show the tweet instead. Let's do that.
Okay.
Can we show the tweet instead? Is that okay? I'm sorry. Didn't mean to do that.
You're doing it great justice right now.
Yeah, my bad. Okay, let's just do that. There you go.
All right, this is Darren Stevens' quote. Devin Cooley's 49 saves tonight were a Sharks record in a goalie's first NHL road win. They were the third most by any NHL goalies in their first road wins. Andre Trefeloff in 1994 and Devin Dubnyk in 2010
each had 52 saves, so he was three saves away from tying them and four from breaking it. But yeah, heck of a night by Devin Cooley. He was probably exhausted after this and deserved every bit of congratulations that he got, because that's a lot of saves in one night, and on the road too. So you're not at home, you don't have the home crowd pumping you up. You're just, you get pumped up from making a save and making the other team's crowd gasp. Like, oh, come on. Like, oh.
Yeah.
It was just, it was one of those nights where he plays very aggressive, kind of overcommits, and it worked that night. I think if teams, I mean, the other part of the problem is teams don't have tape on him yet.
Yeah.
So they don't see his tendencies, and they will. I'm trying to downplay it. It was a very good game, but I wouldn't expect, like, this is going to be our franchise goalie either.
Right.
And I hate to say that because I like the kid. He's a nice guy. But yes, this other quote that you're talking about.
This is why I stumbled here. Yeah. I was going to say, because he looked at me and said, well, if I see 40 saves, that's great. But, and then I'm like, oh, wait, we have a quote on that one. Yes. I don't want to blow that before he puts the tweet up. So this, that was the first tweet. We have a second tweet. That was the first
one. Yeah. So the other tweet here, this is from Max Miller. He's with the Hockey News, and he covers the Sharks. So this is, he tweeted this out. This is the quote. It says, I look up, I'm like, wow, a goal on 40 shots or whatever. I'm like, I feel good. It's just like, nobody cares. You know, nothing's really going to matter. We're all going to die. And that is his mentality on life. So this kind of quote blew up because nobody in the NHL talks like this. They're so, they get classes on how to talk to media, and he obviously did not get this class. Because everyone gives the same boring, repetitive, cliche answers, and this was not it. So when you don't give a cliche answer, you're going to make headlines. Right. It's kind of like John Tortorella, same thing, right? Everyone's always looking for that soundbite from him because he's going to say something that coaches don't normally say. So really cool that it blew up and kind of gave him a little attention and gave the Sharks some positive attention in the league versus, oh, they're the worst team in the league and have the worst goal differential and blah, blah, blah. So it was pretty cool to see.
It seems so cryptic when you just read it, but if you see the way he's saying it, he's like smiling. It's like, yeah, you know, it's you know, nothing matters. You know, we're all gonna die. You know, it doesn't sound, when he's saying it, doesn't sound as cryptic as when you're reading it.
Right.
Right. So if you want to, I would suggest go check out the Sharks media page and take a look at the interview, because it's not as bad as it sounds. But yeah, it was just really funny when he says, like, you know, he's looking up and he sees like 40 shots and, you know, he ends up with, you know, again, 50 shots faced. Again, just a Herculean effort. Now, one of the things that I had talked about, I think, earlier was he seemed like he was kind of all over the place in the first game that I saw him play.
Mm-hmm.
He was, I mean, give the guy some floaties because he was swimming, right? He was all over the net.
Part of that could have been nerves, too.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it's funny because you listen to, you know, some of the analysts talking about it. I think, what's his name? Hannon was talking about this, Hedekin, and obviously Drew and Randy, those guys. They're looking at him and saying, you know, he seems like he was, you know, on his angles and everything else. And Devin, after the game, had also said some about how he's got a lot of help from the goaltending coaches. They've kind of redefined his game a little bit. He's more into just kind of letting the puck hit him, just being in the right spot, right? Mm-hmm. It's not about, you know, the puck's over there, let me go reach out and grab it. It's about being in the right angle and the right depth and everything else, being so that the puck
too
just hits you. Who cares if it doesn't, if you don't catch it, right? As long as the puck hits you, that's fine. So for him, that's kind of what he was saying was, yeah, just as long as it hits me. Right. But their point was that he was had good angles and everything else. For me, he looked like he was just swimming again, and he was just letting the puck hit him any which way he could.
But he was square to the shooter every time. That was the big key to it.
I mean, it's hard to be square to the shooter when you're belly down. I saw him belly down a couple times. Now, again,
a lot of, what do they call it, desperation saves in that game. And it worked.
Yeah?
In that game, it worked. That's what I'm saying.
And I'm going to go back to one of your favorite lines. They don't ask how. They ask, or yeah, they don't ask how, they ask how many.
Yeah.
It's not how he made the save, right? He's flopping everywhere. It's that he made 49 of them. So just, again, a Herculean, fantastic effort from Devin Cooley. And you wish that would be replicated in other games to come up in the week. Again, it's called foreshadowing. Well, but anyway,
there's some more tape on him now.
There is.
So yeah. I'm sure some teams took notice of, hey, this guy flops around, fake the shot, go around him.
Yeah, maybe. Or just, you know, again, for tonight's game, we'll get to it, but the defense did not look very good at all, so kind of hung him out to dry. Anyway, anything else you wanted to bring up about that game in particular?
No, that was it. Okay. Cooley was the story of the game there.
Very good. Okay, so then we move on. We play against Minnesota at home here. Mm-hmm. And this one, a more recognizable Sharks 6-2 loss. Okay, this one, again, they're giving up goals in bunches. A guy who stole the nickname from Phil Kessel, by the way. Phil the Thrill Kessel, right? But this is Kirill the Thrill.
I like Kirill better.
Yeah, you like it better?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't know.
Kirill the Thrill. Well, the Sharks were down, was it 3-1? They get another goal back, and it's 3-2.
Okay.
And you're thinking, okay, there's 4 minutes left in the second period. They're going to go into the second break. And down one goal, that's good going into the third period. Make it competitive, be good. Kaprizov says, no, hold on a second. So he scores one, and it was kind of a fluke goal. I think it bounced off either the post and then hit, was it Blackwood that was playing this one?
In the back.
His skate, like he skated backwards and it was right behind him, yeah. And he pushed it in, so that gave him a goal. Like, oh man, that was just unlucky. Kaprizov was the last one to touch it, so sure, he gets the goal. Zetterlin high sticks Kirill, and now Kirill's angry, and now they go on the power play, and Eriksson Ek makes a heck of a play, yeah. He slides it underneath, I think it was Ruda. Somehow gets it through him, like under him. It's crazy because it looks like he's laying on the ice and blocking everything, and it goes right under him, right to Kirill the Thrill on the back post, wide open, buries it, of course, because that's what he does. So anyway, 2 goals in 47 seconds. So you're going down into the third period, down by a goal, and now you're down by 3.
Yeah.
That's just, oh, brutal. And that is how the season has been going for the Sharks. So no surprise there, but man, just brutal how it plays out. You know it's coming.
Yeah.
But it still sucks to watch. You're just like, oh, like everyone knows it's coming. Yeah, whatever.
No, it's crazy because they start, you can't even say they start off strong and then it just falls apart, because every time at the end of the first period you take a look at the shots, they did not start off strong. Like no. Every single time they get out shot in the first period. And then the second period, maybe they keep things close, except for tonight's game. Maybe they keep things close. And then even if they do, it falls apart in the third, and they end up losing the game anyway, or you know, in overtime, whatever it is, as we talked about earlier in the week for this game, for these weeks, this week. I'm all over the place tonight. So, yeah, you can't. There's not really even like necessarily a pattern of they start off well, they do poorly at the end. It's they can't get going. Hopefully, they're kind of in the mix, and then they lose spectacularly.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe that's the pattern. I don't know.
The goals in bunches to me has been happening all season.
Yes, absolutely.
Where they give up one, and then the next shift, they'll give up another one. It's always within, I mean, I could probably find some stat on there, within giving up 2 goals in under a minute, or within 2 minutes kind of thing.
Of each other, yeah.
Right. I feel like they're leading the league in that right now. So it's frustrating to see, and I hope, I mean, next year's team is going to look so drastically different than this team, the roster itself. Because there's so many guys that are leaving as free agents. Yeah. There's so many more younger guys that are up and coming that will be joining the team. Who knows if they do get Celebrini, because he will be definitely in the lineup on starting night if they do draft him. So it's going to look a lot different, and who knows what kind of free agents as well that would come in. So I just hope that this kind of gets stamped out into next season.
Yeah.
They become a harder team to play against and don't give up these goals in bunches. I mean, if they give up 1 goal, right, instead of 2 back-to-back going into the end of the period, it's not such a dagger as those 2, man. It's such a heartbreaker.
Or when you open the period after intermission getting scored on,
yeah,
right? Too. We go into the locker room. Let's all get our mind right. We reset. Look, we had a bad period, guys. It's okay. Let's come out strong. 15 seconds in, they get scored on. It's like, well, that just took the wind out of our sails, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so hopefully next season, if we're getting a little bit stronger with the prospects that are coming up, and hopefully adding some other free agents that are, you know, again, it doesn't have to be, you know, big scoring type guys, but more guys kind of like the, you know, the blue collar guys that Mike Greer likes having in there, right? Nico Sturms, the Mario Ferraros, those types, right? Get some more of those guys in there, help the young guys really develop and all that, so that they can really contribute, maybe not the first year out, but down the road, right? Learning that culture. Mm-hmm. That hopefully a winning culture that gets developed there. Again, not the first season, but over time, certainly I think that the prospects that are coming up can get us there. So Hopefully that's the case, but we're just going to have to see. For tonight's game, though, you know, we talked about hopefully not having goals scored in bunches. The goals got scored in bunches tonight. It was a 9-2 loss to the Edmonton Oilers. Now, a lot of you are probably thinking, well, yeah, of course, they've got Connor McDavid. You know, McDavid actually only had one goal that went off of Vlasic. And one assist.
In the first minute of the game.
In the first minute, yes. First
shift of the game.
We already talked about this. They do this, Aaron.
It's the goals in bunches and the goals within a minute of yes. the beginning or the end of a period.
Right.
That is the season. Everything in between the Sharks are mediocre. The other ones, they are disastrous.
So you're thinking, though, okay, yeah, McDavid, whatever. But again, he only had the one goal, and he didn't even really score it. It went off of Vlasic, and again, the only other point that he got was that assist. Now, they sat him for the majority of the game because he got that assist. That assist was his 100th of the season, and I think that's the only thing, because he clearly was not shooting the puck. Like, he was holding onto the puck and finding people pretty much the entire time until he finally got that assist, and I think they finally got it on the 9th goal. It was the last goal.
He had 3 shots and 15 minutes of ice time. His faceoffs was 14%.
Whoa.
He probably just didn't care.
Yeah. Like, well, whatever. Again, all I know is he wasn't super effective in that game, and I don't think it was because the Sharks shut him down or anything, but as soon as he got that 100th assist on the season,
done.
Yeah. I think he took a couple shifts, but other than that, he was, I'm good. I'm done.
Well, it was also 9-1 at that point.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they're like, okay, let's not put the big dogs out there anymore.
Yeah, lock it up.
They got their points.
But you mentioned at the time it was 9-1. The one was Gushin, Daniel Gushin. Mm-hmm. He's kind of your boy. You like this guy a lot.
I think he could be sneaky good sniper kind of on the team once they're, you know, got all their prospects and everyone up and going. I think he could be a good... I mean, I feel like the Sharks have a lot of these guys that could be a good third liner.
Good third line scoring.
On a good team, right? Third line scoring. So they finally answered the problem of third and fourth line scoring with their entire prospect pool Mike Greer. So, I don't know. I think, you know, there was some talk that he was going to go back to the KHL, and I think that was the KHL putting that out there. And that was a couple of weeks ago, and he actually came out and said, no, I'm not going to the KHL. I think this call up was great. And now what's interesting is the trade deadline, you're only allowed 3 call ups from the AHL. And the Sharks had already used it and everyone's like, wow, I can't believe they didn't give Gushin and, you know, some other guys, Mook Madolin and some other ones, a call up. Well, apparently all the teams do this and the NHL doesn't really care, as they put guys not on IR, they're just injured and they have to do an emergency call up.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you saw, but there was like 6 Sharks that were out.
Yeah.
Like Zadina, I think, is out for the season, which game.
Mook Madolin is out as well, but he was AHL anyway.
There were some guys on the Sharks that were hurt. Yeah. And they're just like, just sit and we're going to call up some of these young guys because it's an emergency call up.
Ruda and LeBanc were among those as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not having Ruda in the lineup, that's big. Cause I think he's one of their better defensive defensemen, which is sad to say because I don't think he would be a very great defensive defenseman. But
again, veteran experience for a core that is, 23, 24 years of age and younger, right? So Vlasic, they're obviously for that bit of leadership role, but having a guy who's won a Stanley Cup in the lineup as well is certainly good for those kids.
Fun fact, there's one Sharks player that was an even plus minus.
Really?
Who is it? Who would you
It's not Vlasic. Mm-mm. Okay. One shark for this
I'll give you a hint. It's not a defenseman.
I was going to say it can't be a defenseman because they were horrible tonight. Is it Sturm?
Nope.
Granlin?
Nope.
Okay, I don't know who.
Klim?
Yes!
Austin.
Klim.
Klim. Sorry,
how
Klim.
How do you...
Klim. 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 This kid can do no wrong, I feel like, when he's on the Sharks. He's amazing. So
I saw him skating behind McDavid, and there was distance being put. So you could, a little bit more with the skating, I think.
Yeah, a little bit. I thought there was one. There was one last week. There was one plus player on the season.
Mm. On the season?
On the season.
That's fantastic.
And then I forget who it was because they're no longer plus. I can't find them.
Not after tonight's game.
I don't know. Yeah, definitely not after tonight's game.
Well, we talked about how Devin Cooley was so good in that other game that he played in there, and you know, 49 saves on 50 shots. This was what's the other phrase you like to use a lot? Market correction,
yes,
I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
This was not just a market correction. This was like the pendulum swinging all the way back. I mean, you go from making, you know, 49 out of 50 shots, saving 49 out of 50 to, oh my God, 8 goals in like a period and a half. Like, he got shelled. Now, I'm not saying it's all his fault, because there's maybe like one, I think, where he was actually facing the shot and they fired it and went 5-hole. The rest of them were like ding, 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 pass, goal.
Yeah.
And like the defense was just spinning their heads around. Like, I have no idea where
Edmonton
this puck is.
Edmonton is a team that is ready for the playoffs.
Absolutely.
And the Sharks are the complete opposite of that.
The Sharks are a team that's ready to compete in the AHL for a wild card. So,
can you imagine if there's relegation? The Sharks would have been relegated halfway through the season.
You'd have two AHL teams in San Jose if they had relegation. So, it was bad tonight. It was really bad. Kalen Addison, specifically, I saw him get turned inside out. And speaking of getting turned inside out, Jack Thompson making his Sharks debut, I think.
Yeah.
And, man, did he get blown by when McDavid was skating up the rink there. It's kind of like, you know, we've heard Dan Boyle, his welcome to the NHL moment. I forget who it was that hit him, but somebody, he was trying to just get to the boards and flip the puck in, and somebody just crunch timed him, right? And it was kind of one of those things, the guy looks at him, and I think the quote was, "Better eat your Wheaties, kid," to Dan Boyle. And he says, "That was my welcome to the NHL moment." And I think that in the first less than a minute into the game, when Jack Thompson got blown by, I mean, McDavid just, he wasn't even skating. He took his last stride and then coasted, and he went right past him. Like, that's how fast McDavid is. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think that was the welcome to the NHL moment for him.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate, but yeah, that was it was again. You don't like watching your team get smoked, but man, McDavid is just so much fun to watch. When
it's
he's
such
on
a different.
Game.
It's you're watching greatness. Like, you can't. Not that you can't stop him. Some teams are able to stop him, but just sit back and enjoy it.
And I, you know, most Sharks fans did not enjoy it. So certainly, again, just watching the game of hockey, he is a fantastic player to watch. But it does suck when your team is just getting railed like they just did tonight. So again, as a reminder, 9-2 was the final. So I don't know. Is there anything else? Oh yeah. So McDavid gets his 100th assist right on the season. Now there's only 4 players in NHL history who have done this. By the way, Kucherov, I think, is sitting at 99, and he's still got games to play, so he's probably going to get 100 as well, which is amazing. 2 in one season.
Yeah.
And the last one to do it was Gretzky. Now, the list of these other 3 guys, because we said 4, right? McDavid obviously won. Mm-hmm. The other guys on the list, Mario Lemieux, Bobby Orr, fantastic company, and then 11 times over, Wayne Gretzky.
You know, it's amazing. When I was first getting into hockey, I was like, okay, I know who Wayne Gretzky is. I hear it all the time. Like, how good was this guy? And at that time, you know, there wasn't that much YouTube video. You couldn't find as much stuff as you can these days. So I started going through his stats. I'm like, dear Lord, man.
Yeah.
This guy, if you take away all of it, first of all, he has the most goals in NHL history.
Yes.
If you took away all of his goals, he would still be beating everybody in points with just his assists alone. That's just absurd when you look at the stats of how far ahead he is compared to everyone else. I mean, I got to see the tail end of Gretzky when I was into hockey, so I was kind of like, this guy's not that good. But at that point, he was already, you know, in his 30s and mid-30s, I think. He was playing with, I barely remember him playing with L.A. I remember when he got traded to St. Louis, and then New York Rangers for a couple years. So I really watched him then. But yeah, he was still good. I wouldn't say he wasn't the best in the league, but he was up there.
Yeah, I mean, even when he wasn't super productive, he was still ridiculously productive. So, again, 11 times over, that man got 100 assists in this league, which is insane. But, again, more insane is that McDavid's going to do it for the first time in however many years it's been since he played, right? And then Kucherov is probably going to do it in the same season. So you have this gigantic gap, and then you've got 2 guys that are going to be joining that company.
The NHL is changing. The game is changing again.
Absolutely. You're saying smaller and faster and more skill?
Well, what does McDavid have that nobody else does?
Speed.
Yeah. The speed is what's changing this game. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at when the Sharks went to the finals in 2016, that was what killed them, was the speed. They didn't have it. They were built differently. They were built for the slower trenches kind of game.
Yeah.
Bigger bodies, slower moving, which was the older style game maybe a decade before that. So the game is changing. Everyone has always said it's going to speed. But, yeah, and then the goalies have been... I feel like the goaltending has been, I don't say worse. I don't know if that's the right word, but not what it used to be. And we're not seeing. I mean, there's less clutch and grab than there was obviously 20 years ago. But the game is just evolving and changing, and I think for the better. Like, yeah, we're seeing 9-2 games now, which I feel like we never saw those ever. The 11-1. The Sharks.
We had a 10-1, we had a 10-2, and then tonight's threatened to
almost double digit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're close.
It's just nuts. Like, you never really saw that for a long time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think the game is healthy. I think that we're seeing a new crop of guys like Bedard and some other of these generational players coming up, and hopefully they'll get a little bit more popular in the mainstream so that it can bring more eyeballs onto hockey, but that's a whole other story.
And speaking of Bedard and generational talents entering the lead, this whole season has come down to what we're all excited about, which is the draft and the Sharks securing the best odds of getting the number one overall pick. And, of course, the Sharks have done that. So no matter what happens in the game to come or what any other teams do, if they win or lose or whatever else, the Sharks will be the favorites in the draft lottery to get the first overall pick. Now, does that mean that we're a lock to get Celebrini? No. And we'll go over some of these odds in just a second here. But again, this is kind of like what the whole season has been building toward, is the end of the season.
Slacking for Macklin.
And the draft. Yeah, slacking for Macklin, right? Martini for Celebrini. That's how we do it. So... now that we're kind of here, it's a little exciting. I know you've got some stats on Pittsburgh and where they are and where they might end up. And I don't know if you want to say that like now or later. But basically what we're going to do here is kind of go over the percentage chance of the Sharks getting first, second, third. Because though we have the best odds of getting the first overall pick, it's still not a very good chance that we're going to end up with the first overall pick.
Higher chance that we would not get it.
Yeah, exactly. So why don't you go ahead and explain that a little bit.
Sure.
And I kind of go over the percentages.
So the percentages kind of changed because the new rule is that if you are... There's 16 teams that go into the lottery, but 1 through 11 have a chance to get the first overall pick.
Yeah.
1 through 12, you can only move up by 10 spots.
Yes.
So... 11, 12, and 13 can only go 1, 2, and 3 as their highest option. So that kind of changes the odds for the Sharks being the bottom. Used to be, I don't know, was 10% or something, but it's 25.5% chance that the Sharks could get the first overall pick. There's an 18.8% chance that they would get the second overall, and a 55.7% chance that they get the third overall, which would just be devastating in this draft because it's not as deep as last year's draft.
Yeah.
Last year's draft, the top three are going to be excellent players. I mean, Bedard, obviously, but outside of Bedard...
Leo Carlson, Adam Fantilli were the 2 and 3.
Yeah, and Will Smith was debatable on the fourth overall. Michkov was the other one that supposedly could also fit in those top two slots. So, but that's going to be, you know, we won't know that for another two more seasons because you can't come over here until then. So there's a good chance that the Sharks won't get it. I mean, 25.5% is the highest odds of anyone else.
Yes.
But that's a 74.5% chance that they won't get the first overall pick, which is awful. So we'll see. I mean, everyone keeps joking online that the league
it's
wants
rigged.
Chicago it's... to get it. So they have Bedard and Celebrini because they're an original six team and that the NHL's rigged. Now, I don't think the NHL's rigged. They have, I think they use Deloitte. They use somebody that does like the handles the whole lottery to make it official and all this stuff. They make a big deal about it. If it were to be rigged, I think there would be some kind of whistleblower. Someone would say something. It would be a huge, huge deal. Like, not just in the NHL world, but in all of sports. It would. So, no, there is no rigging. There's nothing. Take it as it comes. That's the lottery. That's you live and die by it. Now, what's interesting is they did also change the rule. So Chicago, I mean, the bottom five teams are almost the exact same as last year, just in kind of different order.
Yeah.
Chicago won first overall and got Bedard last year. You can only get it twice in a five-year period. So if Chicago is equally as bad and is in the bottom five next year, they can't get the first overall pick, even if they win the lottery. They just wouldn't be able to get it. So that's interesting. I guess that kind of helps, and that's probably the Edmonton rule because they had so many first overall picks in so many quick years.
Yeah.
And that we just saw, was it Buffalo did it? They had two. They got Owen Power and Rasmus Dahlin, I think, with their first overall picks. But I'm excited. The date has not been set yet, so we don't know exactly when it'll be. They're kind of waiting. They do it during the playoffs, and they're kind of waiting to see what the matchups are.
Yeah.
And then also have to schedule all of those matchups and get TV viewing, you know, get it ready to be on TV. So once that's available, we'll let you know. Maybe we do, I'm just springing this on super producer Jason, a show, a public show somewhere during the draft lottery. Maybe we can set something up with a restaurant or something in downtown. I'm going to be working on that, by the way. So we'll take the show on the road for the draft lottery and have a little party. And he's just saying, no.
Debbie was doing this. she's for it. Yeah. So there you go.
So if you want us to do that, let us know in the comments if you would like a public show. And then we can have a live audience in front of us.
Oh, yeah.
As we're recording the episode. That could be fun.
So if it's a live audience, would they super chat by throwing the money at us? Or how does that work?
That's a great question. I don't know.
And then you just shout out, say this. Yeah. Okay. I guess that's how we would do it.
Tell us in the comments, how would you like it?
There you go. Yeah, we'll
throw bobbleheads at us.
We'll figure it out now. And there you go. Okay. Aaron, the last thing I want to say about the whole percentage thing, and then we talk about Pittsburgh, is, you know, again, a lot of people look at this and they go, well, the chances are we're not going to get the first overall pick then, right? But you have to understand, too, if you're any other team and you're looking at your odds, your odds are even worse, right? Yeah. And your odds are a lot better. If you're, you know, would pick the second overall, your odds are actually better to get the fourth overall then, right? So it actually, though the Sharks, it looks like they don't have very good odds, they have much better odds than anybody else. So let's just try to keep that positive energy going, you know, and let's will the ball to come out. Will Smith did it. Let's will the ball to come out and say Sharks, right, for that first overall.
Right.
Just, I feel it. I'm optimistic. I'm recklessly optimistic. Now, there was a question earlier that said, who did the Sharks draft if they end up drafting number two? And I don't know that I'm qualified to answer that. I think having Graham on here to really give his opinion would be better. And, if Graham is in the chat somewhere, just go ahead and put it in there.
I hope he's on tonight.
But
I haven't seen him.
The only other name that I really recall was Yzerman. I know his stock fell a little bit, but Yzerman, by all accounts, was supposed to be just like a pure goal scorer. Like he puts a puck in the net. So I don't know. Maybe that's somebody that they go after. But again, I think you really have to go beyond just what is the player and think about what is Mike Greer going for here. Do you just go with the best talent, right? The most talented guy that's next in line? Or is there a certain profile that Mike Greer is going for? So I don't know. I don't know who they would draft specifically. All I know is we better get that first overall. First time in franchise history that we would be drafting first overall, by the way. So I would love to see that.
Yeah, I obviously I would too. Yeah. I mean, at least there is a player. Like a couple drafts ago, there was like no consensus number one pick. Whereas at least there is one this season, you know?
Okay.
So
you're saying the Shane Wright draft?
Yeah.
He was supposed to go number one, he ended up going like seven or something
like
that?
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like it was it wasn't a terrible draft. I'm not saying it was bad, but those players aren't that kind of caliber player either, is my point. I was trying to pull up the rankings real quick to get some names in here. But
sure. But while you're doing that, the Penguins, so the trade for Carlson, we got the first round pick from them. Mm-hmm. And is top 10 protected. Currently, they're sitting at 13th overall pick. So they're outside of that top 10. So they couldn't not trade it to us. However, it kind of depends on how the rest of the season goes. They might fall into that category. Is that correct?
So there, it's kind of weird because if they're kind of a long shot now to get into the playoffs, they're looking for that last wild card spot. But they need two teams ahead of them. I don't know if you just said that, sorry.
No.
And if they need two teams, they need Washington and Detroit to both lose, and they're both 1 point ahead of them. So they need to both lose in regulation, and then they can leapfrog them and get that last...
And they need to win.
But Washington and Detroit both play tomorrow, whereas Pittsburgh has a day off and then play. So they will know if Washington and Detroit both lose tomorrow, the game is in their destiny is in their hands, because then they just have to get the win and they're in. So if they get in, this is where it gets interesting, right? If they get in, then they go deeper in the playoffs. Their first-round draft pick is getting later and later and later. If they don't get in, it's going to be it could fall anywhere between, I think it's 11th and up to maybe 15th.
Nick is saying 12th.
Currently.
No, I think he's saying at the worst it falls to 12.
Oh, the worst it could go?
There might be some tiebreaker there, Nick. I don't know if you're...
Oh, maybe he knows.
The same thing he's looking at. Maybe he knows. If it's Nick, I tend to believe it because the keyboard warrior.
They could get leapfrogged by Minnesota and Philadelphia. So then they would be in 21st.
Okay. So the whole point of doing all that mental gymnastics was that the Sharks would end up with that pick. So let's just say.
So he's right, 12th.
Let's say it's 12th then. 12th, or right now they're sitting in 13th. That is a pretty decent player. Now, again, the Sharks could package that with something else to move up a little higher, or to move it for a different pick or prospect.
I don't think the Sharks are in a spot to trade up.
Okay.
And just in overall their prospect pool and all their picks and everything, they would trade down and get more picks, just like they did two seasons ago.
Absolutely.
And that's what Graham always says, never trade up, always trade down, because you're going to get more shots at getting a prospect that's going to pan out.
Okay.
I mean, look at last year, right? Quentin Musty got drafted 26, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. That guy probably should have gone, looking now, maybe in the top 10. If they had the 12th pick and they drafted and they traded down and picked that someone that caliber that they think is that caliber at 26th and get another second-round pick and maybe a third-round pick on top of that just for someone else trading up, then absolutely that would be worth it.
Okay, so that's kind of where we sit right now in terms of points and everything else. The last game that we have of the season really makes no difference whatsoever. We, again, have secured the best odds to pick first overall in this draft. I'm honestly excited about this. I'm really hoping that, it falls to us. I know that the odds aren't necessarily in our favor, but it's more in our favor to get the first overall than anybody else. So there's that. And again, just try to channel some optimistic, positive energy into that ball and get a nice Sharks logo coming up on it. So there you go. Aaron, we've also got some Sharks Media Awards that we were going to announce as well. Are we done with this topic, or do you want to? Is there anything else you wanted to hit on? I see you were looking up some.
At the draft picks, okay. Or the tiers, I guess, of the players. So.
Fire away if you want
to. This is going off of The Athletic. They have Anton Siliev as the number two behind Macklin Celebrini and Sam Dickinson, another defenseman, Carter Yakimchuk, another D, and Artyom
Yakimchuk,
Leshunov. Also defenseman. So the next four guys after Celebrini are defensemen.
Didn't Graham say that this draft was going to be more defenseman heavy too?
Of the top guys, top end talent. And the Sharks do need, I think, a blue chip prospect in defense. They don't really have one.
They do need a stud defender. So, honestly.
They need anything, really, but...
They could use Macklin Celebrini, a stud center, right?
Yeah.
They could use him, but we could also use stud defender. And do we have any really solid goaltending prospects on the horizon? No, not really. Mm-hmm. So I think you just roll the dice on whoever's next in line, to be honest with you. But again, promising in that if you don't get Macklin Celebrini out of this draft, you can still get one of those four tier two defenders that are next in line. And certainly you can use any one of those guys. Again, no matter how this shakes out, the Sharks are going to get a very good player in a position that they need, because they need them all.
I mean, you think, based on what Mike Greer has done, he's going to draft Siliev. He's the guy that's 6'7".
Yeah, probably. Oh, interesting fact. They said the Sharks goaltenders, Jones and I can't remember the name, were the only two prior goalies to be 6'5". Now we've got like...
Cooley
is 6'5". Romanov is 6'5". And then I think one of the other guys, Blackwood, I think is 6'4".
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a lot of very tall goaltenders now all of a sudden, which is kind of interesting. But yes, you're probably right at 6 foot. That's
the way goaltenders are going.
Probably.
You ever seen Darren Pang stand next to like a current goalie? He does it all the time. Darren Pang used to play goalie in the NHL back in the 80s, I think. And he is our size, like 5'8".
So you're saying there's a chance.
Was. We were born in the wrong decade, my friend. But that was the goaltenders back then where they were not 6 foot. They're not 6 feet at all. Yeah, they were just, they probably were the most athletic. Not the most athletic, but like they had to be athletic kind of. Guys that could bend a little bit because they were more stand up than butterfly. The butterfly didn't really come around until later.
You just had to have a screw loose.
That too. Absolutely.
You just had to be a little bit crazy to play in net.
Yeah.
Back then. And again,
you still
do. Even a little bit farther. Well, now they have solid gear, right? It's everything is.
Yeah.
If you recall, dude, like way back in the day, they didn't even bother wearing masks.
No.
I mean, goalies. And then they finally did wear a mask and the guy got like shunned for it. Like, you're not like a real man or something.
It was a different game. There was no slap shots back then. Everything was stayed on the ice and low, and they were all wrist shots. Nothing really went up high.
Which is funny because you would think that would be the dawn of the butterfly era, but if they're standing up.
Yeah,
nothing's getting up high.
It's a very different game. Yeah. There was no line changes. They would have a starting lineup like soccer and then do substitutions, but only like one at a time. So it was a much slower game. It was very different. Very, very different. It's not the game that we have today.
Are we talking about the 1800s?
No, if you were to watch a game in the 1950s or 40s, like it's a very different game than it is now, just much slower.
There was time for a cigarette break too, right?
Yeah, that was called intermission. They would
beer and cigarettes.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah. I think one of the guys was like, he's saying the what do you call it, the bike, stationary bike.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, do you want me to be a cyclist or do you want me to play hockey? Yeah. Like, I'm not getting on this bike. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally different times. Absolutely. Okay, so we're done with prospects.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Okay. Good. Good. Are privy to some of the Sharks media awards that they hand out to some of the Sharks players, and I guess we'll just kind of go through some of these and then maybe we'll have a little bit of fun with it later on.
Sure.
But the Media Good Guy Award going to Mario Ferraro. I don't know, was there something specifically about him being in the media that you thought that he was the guy?
I mean, everyone likes him, right? That's the point. He just gives good interviews and always is kind and never, not that anyone's really mean, but just, you know, when you get to interview him, you're excited to interview him, you know? Some guys, like, and he gives you good quotes.
I feel so like a tight runner-up on that one would have been Nico Sturm, though.
Absolutely.
Really do, because he's, I think the media really likes, just like with Devin Cooley, when he's kind of like off the cuff and he didn't go like on script with everything, like we say the same thing, we're robots. With Nico Sturm, you get an honest take. He's not kind of like,
it's like, you know,
screw loose, wired, like to just say whatever comes out of his mouth. Like, he's still like very well like thought of what it is that he's trying to get out there, but he's very honest with it. And I think the media appreciates that. So I was a little bit surprised that he wasn't that guy. Not that Mario Ferraro isn't deserving of that, of course, but I just thought it was interesting.
I mean, here's the previous winners going back from in order. Logan Couture.
We have a history on this.
Logan Couture, James Reimer, Logan Couture, Brendan Dillon.
Oh, Dilly.
Yeah.
Dude, why'd you have to bring him up?
No, I'm just
like my favorite dude.
I like history. So,
yeah.
And then they did legacy classes of, because they didn't always give this out, so they just started it in 2018, 19.
Okay.
So they gave out ones to previous years, to previous teams. Jamie Baker, Dan Boyle, Ryan Clough, Tony Granato, Jeff Odgers.
Wow.
So those are kind of, think about those kinds of caliber of players, not so much the skill, but their interviews.
Yeah.
They don't really do cliche
answers.
They give brutally honest, just like Sturm. Sturm definitely is probably runner-up.
So the prospect of the year, now this is different because there's prospect of the year, player of the year, rookie of the year. Prospect generally hasn't played any games yet, so... Or not in the NHL, at least. So this one, Will Smith, of course, deserving, I think.
Duh. Like, right? Who else would you pick? I mean, maybe Musty?
There's other guys I could pick, but maybe just not to the same caliber as Will Smith.
No.
That's all.
And he got to the finals, right?
Yes, absolutely.
But, set a or tied an NCAA record for points in the
season?
Yes,
tied. He couldn't because they got blanked in the finals.
Yeah.
So he didn't get a chance to get that one extra point that would have put him over the top.
Right.
Which is too bad.
Yep.
But it's also not career defining, so moving right along.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Rookie of the year, Henry Thrun. I'm good with this.
I mean, how many of the rookies are in the lineup that were consistent and playing?
Which is so funny because they're so young, you would think that the majority of them are rookies. But
yeah. No. William Eklund won it last year.
Yeah.
Which is obvious as
well,
right?
Yeah.
Because there weren't that many. You want me to go through the list for a couple of these?
Give us five or so.
Eklund last year. Jonathan Dahlin. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Nikolai Knyazhov. Mario Ferraro. Radim Šimek. Joachim Ryan. Kevin LeBanc won it. Jonas Donskoy. Melker Carlson. Nieto and Hurdle. Matt Irwin. I'm just going to keep
going. Yeah, that's way more than five, but thank you for that.
just some really good names in here. It's really... I mean, of all these players in here, like how many were kind of busts that didn't really do much? There weren't a ton. Jonathan Dahlin.
Dahlin, Knyazhov didn't really work out, unfortunately, for all obviously. Radim Šimek didn't work out.
But also,
Ryan didn't work out. LeBanc didn't work out.
The team, they weren't, I don't know, whatever. They're not the team that they are now. They weren't high prospects to begin with.
Sure. No, that's a good point. That is a good point.
Yeah.
That they weren't very high drafted prospects in the first place. Very good. Henry Thrun, though, very happy with the first real season for him, and I think that he's definitely got a lot of room to grow because it wasn't a great season, He did get beat quite a bit, and he's learning that game. I think the same thing can be said with Jack Thompson, right? Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be pretty good, but, for the game that he had tonight, kind of exposed him a little bit, I still have things to learn. So, looking forward to
imagine next season. Thrun was in Anaheim.
Yeah.
He probably would not have even...
He'd been scratched.
He wouldn't have played.
Yeah.
He would have been stuck in the minors. So he got almost, not a full season, but a pretty full season for the Sharks. Yeah. In fact, I want to see how many games he played for the Sharks this season because he was 49. So he had more games up than he did down.
Yeah.
Because he kind of bounced back and forth a couple times. So he'll play 50 games this season. Not bad.
Yeah, again, happy with Henry Thrun and what he's been able to accomplish this year in terms of development and whatnot. So looking forward to the years to come because, again, this is the rookie of the year. So he's obviously still very young. A cast of very young blue liners. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them that are on there. So, again, very excited to see where that whole group kind of goes next season and beyond. Player of the year. You'll be very happy with this one, I think. In fact, you go ahead and announce this one.
Who do you think? Michael Granlund. Obviously.
That guy. I think it's Mikhail.
Mikhail Granlund.
Just Americanized the heck out of him.
He has been the most consistent Shark. In fact, he is on a now 11-game point streak. He got a point tonight.
12.
Oh, it was 11?
It was 11.
I thought it was 10. Sorry. 12-point, 12-game point streak. That's amazing. In fact, he's 1 point away from getting to 60, and with one game left to go.
He is, and we will talk about that a little bit later on, because I know you're excited. You want to get there.
Very excited.
But
anyway,
okay.
This is basically the MVP of
for the
season,
yeah.
Right? Voted on by the media. Last year, Erik Karlsson, Timo Meier, Evander Kane, Timo Meier, Hurdle and Burns, Couture, Burns, Thornton, Pavelski, Niemi, Couture, Niemi, Marlowe,
Nabokov. Now that is a list of studs.
Yes.
Right there. Yeah, for sure.
Timo Solani won it in 2002-03.
Oh, wow.
You forgot he was on the team, didn't
you?
Nah,
I didn't forget that he was there.
I will always remember that post in Colorado, Timo. Should have beat Patrick Waugh and moved on. All right. Anyway, that team should have won it.
Pain on this side of the table.
Oh, just doesn't leave. It doesn't ever leave. That's why this season doesn't hurt so much, because I've already been hurt so much. There's nothing left to give. It's just, there's nothing. I was there for a season ticket for 10 years. 10 years. I was there for the reverse.
Just get it out, buddy.
The reverse. I can't even think of the name. Sweep.
Kings?
Yes. Oh, it was brutal. It was brutal. That was probably the most hurtful. Because it was L.A., it was a reverse sweep, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Ugh. God, I think I brought a broom to game 4. It was just awful. Just awful. Anyway.
Okay, so that was the Sharks Media Awards and a little bit of throwback therapy, I guess. I don't know. Jeez, man. You just melted down for about 30 seconds there. You okay?
I'm good.
You need a cookie or something?
No, I'm all right. Jeez. I've had too many. Sugar crashing right now.
Okay, so that was the Sharks Media Awards, but those are boring. Media-ish media, right?
Yep.
Okay. So we did our own awards here, and I didn't put any names in here because I wanted to have a genuine reaction out of you. And maybe we can get the folks to kind of put what they would say in the comments here so we can read some of those off as well.
Let's do it.
Okay. So welcome to the Fin Factor Awards, because that's what we're calling this. Okay.
Should have wore a black tie.
Can we get the little thing? Yeah, there it is. Oh, man, I'm on fire tonight. Okay, here we go. The Reason to Watch of the Year Award.
Ooh. So they have to be different, like a different person for all these?
No, I mean, you can win the Conn Smythe and the Harden, right? So
the Reason to Watch.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to say Eklund here.
I'm going to say Eklund, so I'm just going to spoil it. Eklund.
I'm going to say Zetterlin then.
Okay.
Because I like watching him play as well.
Okay.
The whole Lund line. Can I say the Lund line?
Yeah, the Lund line. You could say that.
That's fine. An exciting. That. That's That makes it exciting. Makes me want to watch. Because every time they're on the ice, even though in this last, 2 months, it's like something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting to me.
Okay. I think someone in the comments is probably going to say the draft lottery is the reason to watch. Throw up therapy. Okay. Grandizer. That's
the dumpster fire.
Wow. Eklund, Peter St. John, spelled it with an H. I don't know if he has got an H in there, but
I think he uses voice to text hence.
Of course. So yeah,
the maybe spelling mistakes. That's fine.
Doing that, okay. I like this one. The Player You Hope Your Children Will Grow Up to Be Like of the Year Award.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to go with Nico Sturm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Nico Sturm as well. That guy for me is again, he gets in front of the media and he tells you straight and he works crazy hard. This guy is everything that you want in a hockey player and a human being.
Mm-hmm.
This is my guy. I love Nico Sturm. I know you're saying he's gonna get replaced, Aaron, but I don't care. I would love to see him come back 8x8. You heard it here first. Just saying. I'd love to have him back. He's a great guy and a great player, and he leaves it all out there on the ice every single time, and he's a leader. I don't care if he has or doesn't have a letter on his sweater next season. The man is an absolute leader, and I'm glad the Sharks had him for the season. Go ahead. What?
Peter St. John is a good one here.
Oh.
You put it up, Jay? I'll let Paul read it.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Which one?
Noah Gregor. Noah Gregor. That's what he wants his kids to be like.
Yes, a hardworking guy who never gives up despite all his faults and is just resilient and has made it to the show, which is more than I've done.
Nicholas Legan, I know he's no longer here, but hurdle for this award.
Okay.
I can see that.
Grow up to be like?
Yeah.
Okay. Which is actually, I'm going to skip the next one here. I'm just going to go to the next award here, which is the best smile since Hurdle can't win every year anymore award.
That's a good one too.
Right?
Eklund.
Eklund?
Eklund's got a heck of a smile.
Yeah.
He looks like he still looks like a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like he's very excited every time something happens. When he scores a goal, he's very excited.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are you going to say?
I was going to say Mario Ferraro with the missing teeth.
Ah, that's a good one. You know? Yes. That's a good one, too. He scored a goal the other night.
And yeah.
The smile is just like, oh, it's so gross. It's so gross. It's such a hockey smile.
He's the only guy who can close his mouth fully and breathe no problem.
He looks like Mike Ricci in his heyday.
Maybe that's why he's so good on defense. He could breathe so easily with the gaps.
He should grow the flow and take a picture next to Ricci.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Solid.
And then get Burns in there on the offseason.
Very nice, very nice. do we have anybody in the comments on that one, by the way, for best smile?
Mario Ferraro.
Mario Ferraro. Yeah. See? Peter St. John.
Yep.
We're on the same level, buddy. Okay. Okay. Last one. No, not last one. Yes, it is. Best nickname of the year.
Oh, man.
Nickname.
I'm not too up to snuff on the nicknames, so go ahead.
Do you like Slippery Pete?
That's a good one.
That's a fantastic nickname. It makes no sense whatsoever. His name's not Pete. And he doesn't swim. So I don't know where Slippery Pete came from, but I love it. and it's awesome, but it's also not my pick.
How about the Gamble That Paid Off Award?
The Gamble That Paid Off Award. It's not one of them here. Okay, hold on a sec. With nicknames, though. Do you? Is there anybody else?
Super Mario?
Super Mario's good.
What are the other nicknames? I don't know what the other
nicknames. There's ones that that I have used. Cleam the Dream. I think Cleam the Dream is fantastic.
So is this an award for your
nickname? It's for my nickname now.
Go ahead.
I don't even care.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, Cleam the Dream. I like that one. Slippery Piece, fantastic.
Not Mr. Cleam.
Mr. Cleam made more sense, as you said, if he was bald.
Yes.
Peter's got one.
Oh, here we go. Granny. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh, that's a good one.
I call him Granny Smith, like the apple.
Slacking for Macklin's a good nickname.
Yeah, it is, but that's, well, that's a slogan. That's a slogan.
That's the slogan of the year.
Yes, absolutely.
That so sums up the season.
Crankshaft. Yes, Debbie. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Debbie's behind the scenes. She won't shout it out, though. She doesn't want anybody to hear her.
Debbie, I believe you met him, right? Was it at the...
She's nodding.
Yeah.
She's... Yeah. She's... Debbie's actually here, people. We're not just making this up and talking
about
it.
I know you met Dan Boyle.
Not
I really,
Hannon.
And Hannon.
Yeah.
Because I really embarrassed her that night and that day. Yeah. Anyway. But...
Okay.
She was very happy to get a picture with him.
Very happy, yes.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, yes, my pick for that one is Cleam the Dream. So there you go.
I like that.
Cleam Shady.
That's pretty good,
that's
too.
That's not bad. I like that. I don't know if that's an actual nickname, but I think it could work.
None of these are actual nicknames.
It is for me. Cleam the Dream. There you go. Okay. We actually did have one more. Player voted most resembling a tomato.
Obviously, Zetterlin.
I'm sorry, I had to throw it in there. Yeah. That dude is red.
Yeah.
He is like, yeah, tomato. He's a tomato.
Yeah.
That is a very red human being. So, anyways, interesting.
It's very fair skin, so it just comes out red.
Okay, just having a little fun there with that one. Because, again, the media awards are fun, but I think, you know, we have better categories.
Yes, so. Absolutely.
Are we really only halfway through the show?
Yeah, we're only halfway through.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Stats Watch, Aaron, Stats, Granlund.
We talked about this for the last couple weeks.
If we did.
To 60. And last week we said, it's doable, he needs 5 points in 4 games.
Yeah.
Or was it 5 and 6? I don't remember. He needed a game with 2 points, and he got that.
I think it was six or seven in 5 games. Is that
Yeah.
So he's at 59 after tonight.
He's got an 11-game point streak.
I think
he's
it's 12.
He's at 59 points.
I think it's a 12-game point streak because when you wrote that, it was before the game.
Okay.
So let's say 12. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt here. I'll make it sound better.
Right.
Even though I'm betting against it.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
In fact, I had a Darren Stevens tweet that I almost pulled up.
Oh.
Super producer Jason hates tweets. But Darren Stevens, I'm going to pull it up real quick. You don't need to put it on the screen. I'll just read it to you.
Good, I'll just go to black.
This was before tonight's game.
Yeah.
Let me see. Oh, he updated it, I believe. Yes. Okay. So the longest point streaks in Sharks history. Any ideas?
No.
Who do you think would have the most?
Who would have the most?
Who would have the longest game streak points?
I'm going to go with Brent Burns.
Nope.
Oh, is it Carlson?
Yep.
Yeah, Carlson. That's
Eric
right.
Carlson, 14 games.
That's right.
Rob Gaudreau, 12. Jonathan Chichu, 12. Now, Mikael Granlund, 12.
You know what's funny? The reason I said Burns is because he barely missed any games ever.
Yeah.
And for Carlson, he was out all the time, but in that brief moment where he was back in, he just slayed.
Yeah. That first season after he signed, was it December? It was like he had
20-something points in 14 games.
Yeah, it was something ridiculous.
He went off, yeah.
Yeah. Granlund's streak is tied with Gaudreau for the longest in a player's first season with San Jose.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
In a season like this, too.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's got to put up good, points, you could right? say, okay, maybe, but yeah. Man, wasn't this bad?
Nice comeback for Granlund.
Yeah.
Very happy for him.
Absolutely.
Anyway, Eklund is at 45 points. Is that right?
Should be,
updated now?
I believe so.
No, Eklund's at 45. Oh, maybe this isn't updated.
Yeah, you need to hit the refresh button on that one. He's looking at stats on this page here.
There it is.
There you go.
Eklund's at 45. Zetterlin's at 43. Mm-hmm. Now, we were wondering if they were going to get to 45. Eklund did. Already.
Did I bet against Eklund? I don't think I bet against Eklund. I think I bet against Zetterlund.
Yes.
Okay. And I bet against Granlund. Now he's at 59. I said he's
59.
I said 59. He's not going to get to 60. That's what I said.
Right.
So he's got one more game to prove me wrong. But although Eklund is at 45, Zetterlin sitting at 43. I don't know. I think he's going to get two more points.
Well, that line's the only one doing the scoring usually, so there's a good chance. Good chance.
It's funny because if one gets a point, usually the other two get a point with
them. Right?
Yeah.
It's hand in hand. So, yeah, if they, as long as they don't get shut out.
You just had to say it, didn't you? Goodness gracious. Okay, so I don't know. I don't know. Do you think that they're all going to hit those numbers? Do you think they're... Because I'm going to stay with... I'm not going to go back and change my... I said 59. He's going to stop at 59. That's what I think is going to happen. I don't think Zetterlin's going to get to 45 either. So do you think that that's going to happen? They got one game to do it. Oh,
man. All right, I'm just going to say yeah.
Okay.
They do it. Two goals, they somehow get 2 points each. Boom. Knock it over.
Or a pie in the face.
Again, not something I'm super passionate about. I'm just saying I don't think he's going to get there. So there you go. Okay.
Negative Nancy.
Anything else you want to say about the stats watch or just the Lunds in general?
No, we did talk about, I didn't put it on here, but the Sharks getting to 20 wins.
Right.
And they are at 19.
They are at 19.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There is a chance. If they were at 18, there wouldn't be a chance.
Now, if they win the game, most likely Zetterlund and Granlund and Eklund will be getting some points.
So I guess what I'll say is I don't think it's going to happen, but if they do win, I think everybody hits their numbers then.
The Sharks are also making some history with their negative 146 goals against average.
Ooh!
Differential.
Boy, did that jump after today, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't think they were going to get to negative 150. Now, I don't know. If Calgary decides to go all out in this game.
One more goal against differential will tie them with the California Golden Seals of 73-74, which is an awful season. Just brutal. Brutal.
Right.
So, they could crack the top 10 in the NHL history here.
That's something to look forward to, I guess.
Not a list you want to be on. In fact, none of these teams are in this era, in this century, in this millennia.
Yeah.
So, the worst team, or the next worst team was Anaheim Ducks that were at 129, which they're not obviously going to catch. So... Yeah, this is the worst team goal differential wise in
20-something years.
30 years, yeah. 40 years. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Anyway.
Okay.
You have stuff here on Will Smith.
Will Smith, and I want to give a hat tip to Sheng Peng at San Jose Hockey Now, because he had an article out about this. And we had talked about, signing and then it burns a year off the entry level contract, right? Because there's only game 82 that's left. He's done. He could sign and he could play. And we were under the impression that it would burn the first year of his contract. However, because he's only 19 years of age, it would actually slide. Because
he's less than 10 games.
Because he's 19.
Right. But you also have to play less than 10 games and then it slides.
Just because he's 19.
So no, even if he played, if he played 11 games, it won't slide.
Cutter Gauthier?
Yes. Just signed.
He's going to burn a year. And he's only played...
Because he's what, 20?
20 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to play less than 10 games and be 19 for it to slide.
Okay.
That's why a lot of times they'll bring up a prospect for 9 games.
Yeah.
And then send him down.
Right.
Because then it'll slide their contract.
So Will Smith cannot burn a year, I guess.
I fully understand. Because there's only one game left.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just want to give a hat tip to Sheng Peng on this one, because a lot of people were saying, well, have him sign, have him play, it'll burn a year off of his deal, and then he only has 2 years to get to his RFA, his next contract, right? Not the case. Doesn't matter even if he plays or doesn't play. So the point here is that he is in no rush at all to sign a contract right away and to play in game 82, because none of this is going to matter. His entry-level contract is going to start next season if he signs... Anyway, so it doesn't matter, right?
I think it would have been different if he didn't go as deep in the NCAA finals and his season ended, like, let's say, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. Or if that somehow shifted where they played, the Sharks played a little bit longer and they finished a little bit earlier and there was it doesn't have to be 10 games, it'd be less than 10 games, but maybe that would have changed his mind. And if there was any home games, I think that might have changed maybe not so much his mind, but the Sharks' mind to get him in there.
Yeah, the only game he could play in now is an away game, and it's not drawing any fans.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, that would give that's kind of a reward to the fans and the season ticket holders to say, here's our shiny top prospect, and we want to see you to see him in the NHL. Right. So, yeah, it sucks, but it does give him time to think about signing later.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what he was saying was don't expect him to sign. So if he doesn't sign and doesn't play in game 82, like there's nothing to panic about. Nothing's wrong here, right? It doesn't make sense for him to do it anyway. Now Nick, on the other hand, is saying that there's a chance that he decides to stay at Boston. No,
I don't think so. Okay. There's no reason for him. He already almost broke the record, right? Yeah. What's the point?
Yeah.
He has nothing to prove at that level.
You don't think maybe he wants to break the record? Maybe he wants to.
No, and I talked about this. He wants to get paid. Okay. Man. You're not getting paid at that level.
Yeah.
You have to be an amateur, and it's not. I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's not worth it to go through an entire season again, in my opinion.
Yeah.
When you're not going to graduate college because you're going to be signing an NHL contract and making so much money that you don't need it. So it's not like. It's not like he's going back for a senior year and could finish school and get his degree and then sign. That's not the case.
Which is what Colin Graf did.
Right.
He went back after he wasn't drafted. He went back to school and got himself his degree and everything. Honestly, I'm in the same boat as you. I just have to play a little bit of devil's advocate on some of this stuff.
He's not going back to NCAA.
I don't think he's going back to NCAA. Especially if his line mates and I don't think Gauthier was even... on his line the whole time.
But he's signed.
If the majority of those guys are like, you know what, we're going to turn pro, peace out, I don't think he's going to want to return and roll the dice on other line mates that maybe he's not as dominant with.
Celebrini won't be there.
Well,
So, yeah, it's going to be a whole different team.
So, yeah, I'm with you on that one. I don't think he's back.
Was it Michigan a couple years ago when they all returned?
Yeah.
It was like... Three of the top five picks were all at Michigan, and they all decided to go back to play. It's not like that.
Yeah. Okay. So, again, thank you, Sheng, for that article and that information. If you guys are not following Sheng, by the way, awesome follow on Twitter and everything else. San Jose Hockey Now. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of really great work, so certainly go check them out. Do appreciate you guys supporting them as well. Hockey in the Desert is no more.
Right.
It was the Phoenix Coyotes, then it was the Arizona Coyotes,
well, it was the Winnipeg
then it was
Jets
the,
first.
I don't know, we play out of Mullet Arena Coyotes, that's where they are now. So
Winnipeg Jets moved to Arizona in 1996 and became the Phoenix Coyotes.
Okay.
So it was the Jets organization originally. Yeah. That's Shane Doan was drafted by the Jets and played there, I think, for one season, and then they moved. so anyway, there's kind of a lot going on here. This is kind of got leaked last week, and so the NHL kind of got ahead of it and was like, okay, we better announce something because everyone kind of already knows.
Yeah.
And the official announcement isn't coming for another day or two, so they haven't officially announced anything, but they started sending memos around. The first leak that came out was the NHL was creating two schedules for the Coyotes. One, if they're playing in Arizona, and one, if they're playing in Salt Lake City. That kind of tipped it off. Like,
wait, what?
Why are there two schedules? That's weird. So this is the whole thing. There's an owner that owns the Coyotes that's in Arizona. He's been trying to buy this property at a land auction, and he wants to build not just an arena, but like a whole facility. I think we saw a picture of this last week, maybe not.
Okay.
But it's this giant thing with like a mall, hotels, like a big giant strip. Think like, I don't know, Santana Row with an arena and Valley Fair and Santander, like all that one big giant thing, right? This huge $1 billion thing. The problem is the land has zero infrastructure. There's no water, there's no sewage, there's no nothing. Everything has to get completely built. And the city is kind of like, there's no infrastructure and we're in a desert. We don't have enough water to like, for something that massive of a project to give that much water. Water's very expensive in a desert. Who knew? So, who knows if that'll actually even get off the ground. So that was part of it. So the NHL is kind of like, is that really a plan? So then there's in Utah, the owner of the Utah Jazz, who also owns the Real Salt Lake MLS team, the Utah Royals, which is the women's soccer team, and the Utah Jazz wants to buy an NHL team. And this guy has a lot of money, and money talks in the NHL. So he wants to buy or get... He really wanted to get an expansion. He wanted his own to be like Vegas and get like the expansion draft, you know, the whole thing, and start everything from scratch. But he also said, I'll take anything as well if you want to relocate a team. So they want to relocate the team. The NHL is going to move them out of Arizona. Now, the owner of the Coyotes says, hey, I don't want to sell my team. I kind of like it. So what are you going to do for me? So then what's going to happen is the NHL is going to buy the team from the Arizona owner for $1 billion. They're going to pay him $1 billion to take the Arizona Coyotes. He keeps the rights to the name of Arizona Coyotes. So the new team, when they get moved, they cannot be the Coyotes because he's keeping the name rights.
Okay.
Similar to when Winnipeg Jets moved to Arizona, they kept the Winnipeg Jets name, which when they got another relocation from Atlanta, they went back to the Winnipeg Jets name.
Right.
So Arizona, he's hopeful to get an expansion team. And the NHL wants to have a team in Arizona because logistics, it's great for geography of where the team is. The team had a bunch of growth. I mean, Austin Matthews came out of there. There's a couple other NHL guys that came out of the area. And they were asked this week, you know, what you thought about it. And they're like, oh, that'd be really sad, you know, because there'd be kids like me going and not getting that. So going back to Utah is going to buy the team from the NHL after the NHL buys it from this other owner. So Utah is going to pay $1.3 billion for the team. So that extra $200 to $300 million gap between the two is going to get distributed to all the other teams. So every team is going to get roughly $9 million in cash, which they're like, cool, we'll take it, you know, free money. So that's what's going to happen. And now Utah, the owners there, they announced, they just had he tweeted something a couple weeks ago saying, if we're to get a new NHL team, what should we name it? And he opened it up to the internet, which is a terrible idea. So anyone got to put any kind of name suggestions in there. So I don't even know what it is. Now, that link is closed. It's no longer open. You can't submit anything. But anyway, the Coyotes will now, I guess it's official, are going to be moving to Utah, which I'm very sad about because I was planning to go to Mullet Arena next year. I wanted to go see the Sharks play with Will Smith, probably Musty, you know, a more exciting team playing in a 4,000-seat arena. I thought it'd be really cool. Just a cool experience because I knew it wasn't going to last. They weren't going to be there forever in an intimate arena, so I'm not going to get that experience now.
Yeah, you know, funny enough, I actually was able to go and see a game at Mullet Arena this season because of tournaments with the kids and everything. So we had to go to Arizona for my son playing over there. And, you know, speaking to the hockey community that's out there, it's actually pretty strong. I was a little surprised. It's pretty strong out there. There were several teams from that area, the Junior Coyotes and Junior Sun Devils and Junior, there's lots of other teams that are there. And they're all representing, you know, the state of Arizona. And the skill level actually on a lot of those teams was pretty good, pretty high. I was very impressed with the products that for 10U that these guys are putting out there on the ice. They're very organized, moving the puck a lot, everything else. So what they're teaching the kids out there, pretty impressive stuff for it being, as you said, a desert, a place where you play ice hockey, right? So just, again, I think for those people, yeah, absolutely, it's going to unfortunately... and this is their words, too, because I was on Twitter and I was seeing people saying this about it. It's going to kill a lot of everything that's going on out there from a hockey perspective. Yeah. It's going to kill it.
Yeah.
And it's really just too bad because, there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of youth players, a lot of kids out there who really enjoy the sport, really were very good at the sport. And for an NHL team to leave the city... is really going to put a dagger in a lot of that infrastructure. I hope that, you know, it's not too bad for them, you know, as a community and everything else. But you just have to imagine that, you know, once that NHL team is gone, that's it.
It's sad because if they have an arena, that team's staying.
Yeah.
That's all it's holding up right now.
Yeah.
Is not having an arena or anything to call themselves home, obviously, because they've been at Mullet Arena.
Right.
So as soon as that gets settled, I'm certain the NHL will come back and they will give them an expansion team. I think they would expand probably by two as well. Two teams in the NHL. There's no reason to bring one in. Yeah. I don't know. But that could also mean divisions changing.
Yeah.
Conferences kind of realigning. Maybe a team that's, you know, in the Eastern time zone goes to the East Coast instead of being in the Western Conference, like Detroit was for so many years. Nicholas Egan also brings up a point. Players were also told that they will be moving to Utah and be given $25,000 each to cover moving expenses. Now, all of the everything from the team moves. Staff, like the GM, everybody, coaching staff, everybody moves to Utah as if it's the exact same team moving. New look, new jerseys, new everything. They also have to renovate the arena that the Utah Jazz play in because sight lines are a problem. Similar to, I don't know if you remember, when the Islanders were playing at Barclays Center, I think it is, where they had a Kia car in the corner. Because, and then if you looked at the view, did you ever see the picture of that?
Yeah, I think we showed it on the show. You can't see anything.
Yeah, from behind the goal up until, like, the whole upper deck, you can't even see, like, to the blue line. Like, it's completely covered by the stands because it's meant for basketball and not for hockey. Now, they've played 4 or 5 exhibition games in Salt Lake City already. So they've kind of shown the league, like, hey, we have a good crowd here. We have a good fan base of hockey fans that would want their own team. So it's going to be a good market. I think logistically it's a little bit better as well for those teams because they could fly, you know, up north of Canada and be closer to some of those teams. Colorado will probably be a big rivalry now because they're a little bit closer.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if they play in the playoffs against each other. But anyway, kind of sad that we won't see the Desert Dogs for a little while.
Yeah, that was the other thing, is you're not going to hear Desert Dogs anymore.
Yeah.
Which is, maybe they call them the Utah Desert Dogs, you know?
Yeah.
It's not Coyotes.
Yeah, but the Coyotes will eventually come back, so I think that's just, it's too close, I think.
Salty Dogs.
Salty Dogs.
Salty Dogs. Isn't that a brand?
It's a song. Salty Dog. Anyway. Okay. So, you know, again, I got the opportunity to go to Mullett Arena. Awesome atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Loved it. That's obviously not going on because they have the Sun Devils that play out of there still. So that's pretty cool. And then it just hit me. For again, we went there because of my kids for ice tournaments. We're going to Utah in like 3 weeks.
Oh.
So we're going to be playing in Utah as well. I'm like, that's cool. That's a weird place. Oh, that's why. Yeah. Right? So, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, pretty cool. So I'll be able to visit, I guess, Salt Lake City. I don't know. So yeah, cool stuff. So, done with the Coyotes talk, are we? It's a sad thing, but it's, you know, there weren't that many fans that were showing up at the Glendale Arena before they moved anyway. So I always made jokes about it, you know, them and their like 5 fans.
Yeah.
So it's what it is. You did it to yourself, Glendale or whoever, Phoenix, all of Arizona.
All of Arizona.
All, the whole thing. It was the Arizona.
The whole desert.
Yeah, the whole thing. So, okay, moving on. Hockey fantasy winner, you have an update.
We did. We finished our fantasy hockey league. It's our second season, and that's the trophy that is above the TV up here. So I'm going to have to hand engrave or hand stamp in the name. Travis McLean, congratulations on winning. He was the 6th seed, the bottom seed, and made his way all the way up to the top in the playoffs. So the worst seed winning in fantasy hockey. Wow. And his name was Will Nye Science Guy because he had William Nylander on his team.
Well, there you go.
Clever name.
Very nice. I like it.
Yep. So we're going to go into next season. It's a keeper league. I know we have one spot that will be open. So if you are interested in joining the fantasy league, the winner gets their name engraved on the trophy that will be in the background of our set for the foreseeable future. As long as we're doing the show. So it's pretty cool.
Unless we move to Utah and get a good deal.
Yeah. It's also a very active league. We talk a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of messages that go back and forth. Hockey, Sharks, everything. And everyone is very active. So if you are I don't want to say serious fantasy player, but if you really like fantasy hockey and you're looking for a league, it's a keeper league. And we can give more details. So if you're interested, just email us at thefinfactor@gmail.com.
Very good. Last game of the season, guys. It is against Calgary. It is at 6 p.m. And it is in Calgary, of all places. So, Aaron, nothing matters. We're all going to die. As Stephen Cooley would say.
We already locked up Matt.
We locked it up.
So it doesn't matter, right?
We slacked enough.
We slacked.
So, do we even care anything about this game at all? Is there any reason for you to sit there and watch this game?
You know, yeah, it's the last game and it's kind of relief, but I think I really hate the Calgary horn when they score a goal. I don't know if you can picture it in your head or hear it in your head. It's just such a high-pitched horn, kind of like Edmonton's too.
Okay.
It's just really annoying. I hate it. So I don't want to hear it.
So, okay. So you're watching it to not hear this?
I just hope they shut him out. That would be amazing. Now, it'd be interesting. I don't know who's going to start. Is it going to be Cooley or Romanoff?
Romanoff. I think Romanoff gets a start. Because why not? You just put Cooley in and he got shelled. He got 8 goals scored against him in a period and a half.
That's what I think.
Could it get any worse? Probably not. So let's just throw him in there.
Could have been if they kept him in.
I think just, well, I meant for Romanoff. I think you just give the guy a start, you know? He got a little bit of NHL action. Didn't look too terrible or anything like that. So he got 1 goal scored against him. Obviously,
it was towards the
Oilers pulled back a little bit there. But you know what? I say, last game of the season.
Let's see what he's got.
What's the point in not doing it, honestly? Give him a go. And if things don't go well, you throw Cooley in there. Again, he just got 8 goals scored against him.
So, I mean, he stopped 16 of 17 shots. Romanoff did.
I say you start him. It's for me, it's a no-brainer. I don't put Cooley back in after he just got wrecked for 8 goals. I just don't. I don't see you put him back in. I don't see that happening. I think you start Romanoff.
Okay.
So there you go.
I'd like to give Romanoff.
Is it Romanoff, like Natasha, or is it Romanov? I don't know where you put the accent on the syllable. So if someone can maybe help out with that one, that'd be awesome. But anyway, Georgi, I think is his first name.
Georgi. Like Georgiev.
Yeah, I like that. It's kind of cool. It's a really cool name. Georgi Romanov or something like that. I don't know. We got some pretty cool.
Sounds Irish.
Cool goaltender names. Magnus Crona. That's a solid one, huh?
I love that name.
Okay. So again, no reason really to watch this game other than you're a Sharks fan. And if you do watch this game, good on you. You're a real one. Aaron, what are you looking for in this game? Are you looking for anything?
Yeah, I want to see 1 more point from Granlund.
Okay.
2 more from Zetterlund.
Yep.
And Eklund get a hat trick. Why not?
Yeah, sure.
No, that'd be great. I want to see those guys get their points. I'd like to see Romanoff play.
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool to kind of give him a start in his first NHL start.
Yeah.
See what he can do. And, I don't know, see some of the other young guys and see what they can do. Was it the other defenseman that just got called up that played?
Jack Thompson.
Thompson, thank you.
I want Romanoff to get the start, and I want to be right about everything that I guessed. I want less than 20 wins, Granlund at 59 points, Zetterlund not getting to 45. I want all those things, so I want to be right. So there you go. That's what I'm looking for.
Terrible.
A little selfish. It's okay. Okay. I guess that does it then. Ding. Oh, we got something else here?
No.
Oh, he just wants to hit the bell.
I'm tired.
He enjoys the bell. Are you trying to wake yourself up? Is that why?
Ring the bell.
Ding. Okay. Aaron, anything else comments wise you wanted to hit on here?
Nope. Yep.
Guys, second to last show of the regular season. Thank you guys for sticking with us as long as you have, not just in this show, but in this season and seasons past. The Sharks have been terrible, and we know it's hard to watch sometimes. We appreciate you guys tuning in and giving us your comments and everything else. It really does help support the show. And again, a great way to support the show, Peter St. John did it earlier with the Super Chat function. Do appreciate you, Peter St. John, a big supporter of the show for many, many years, both financially and with all of his comments and just viewership. So again, thank you, Peter St. John. Do appreciate that. You can use the Super Chat function as well as Venmo at the Fin Factor. Both great ways to help support the show. Put a comment in there. We'll read it out live during the show. You can also go to thefinfactor.com, pick up any of the stuff that we have there. Hats, shirts, sweatshirts, t-shirts, flip-flops, beach towels, all kinds of cool stuff. If you don't believe me, check out the store. Maybe it's there. Spotify, go ahead.
Find us on Spotify and give us a follow on there. We're trying to build that up. And you can also watch us on Spotify as well. You don't have to just listen. So you can see our beautiful faces on Spotify.
Beautiful faces. Okay. Anything else? We good?
Yeah.
That's it. One more shout out to Debbie, who's hiding behind the scenes here. Thank you, Debbie, for bringing all the wonderful snacks. It's pretty awesome. Aaron was just chowing down.
It's the quietest I've ever heard Debbie.
Yeah.
It's just so quiet.
Wow.
She's not talking at all.
Is that a slight? My goodness. Holy, oh my goodness.
She's just shy. She's very shy.
All right, very good. All right. Well, again, Debbie, thank you so much. I appreciate you stopping by and giving us some treats. And I've got some in the refrigerator, the prosciutto wrapped mozzarella sticks, which I can't wait to dig into those tomorrow, probably. So thank you so much. Oh, she speaks. Oh, my goodness. All right. Guys, again, thank you so much. We'll see you for the last show. Is going to be, what, Monday?
Next week, yeah.
Monday? Okay, yeah. Good. All right. So we'll wrap this whole thing up here. For Super Producer Jason, I'm Paul.
And I'm Aaron.
And we will see you
next week.
Next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like this episode, check out our other content, especially interviews. You can interact with us directly through social media at The Fin Factor and on Instagram at Fin Factor. And don't forget to join our live streams on YouTube.
Visit our website at thefinfactor.com, where you'll find all of our episodes as videos or podcasts. You'll also find our exclusive merchandise to help support our show.